So, Bob, I'm really excited to have a chance to sit down with you and to talk to you about your new book, What Work Is. And I just want to say from the beginning, I really enjoyed reading this book and I found it to be a really beautiful book. So could you tell me a little bit about how did you come to this idea of putting a book like this together?
Well, first of all, Steph, it's great to have my colleague join in this conversation with me about the book, and particularly to hear you say that it's a beautiful book. I don't know that when you set out to write a book, you have necessarily beauty in mind, or at least a book in the social sciences, perhaps. But that's a great that's a great outcome if in fact that's how you feel about it. So thank you. So a couple of different motivations. One is that after all the years that I've been doing labor education, and you know it also as an outstanding labor educator, that you have really provocative and deep conversations with your students, who in this case are people that are in the labor force, largely union members. And so you can really get to know them and you can get to know the work they do, and they certainly enjoy talking about their work. And over the years, I've just grown more and more interested in the way that work is experienced, right? What it does to us, what it means to us, how we think of it, and how we live our lives through the labor that we do. And so that personal interest of mine, I think, was the idea for collecting the student contributions really came from NPR, which has been doing for years something called the Race Card or the Race Project, in which they ask people to comment in six words or less how race has left an impression on their life. And they've collected just thousands of these, and they have a dedicated website to it. Well, I found them very provocative and very moving and incredibly diverse in the contributions. And when I thought about how important talking about race was, it really did occur to me that work is one of those other concepts that really does shape your life. And so I thought, well, why not do something similar and talk to my students about work and have them give me these brief statements about work. And then additionally, Philip Levine, who was the poet laureate, I think during the Obama administration, at least one year, he is a he's since deceased, but Levine was an auto worker out of Detroit, and he became a working class poet, and he published an award-winning a book called What Work Is. And I'm grateful for that book and the poetry that lied within it. And I began to use poetry from the book, particularly the title poem, What Work Is. And I found students' reaction to it to be pretty emotional, and decided that, well, if I could, if I can get them to write just a little bit about what work was to them, then perhaps I could say something more profound about and help people understand the way work is experienced. And then from that, it should lead to a certain set of practices and behaviors and policies that would really raise up work and protect the dignity of workers. So I think some different threads contributed to the reason and the inspiration for the book.
Makes sense. When reading this book, I was struck by how many different ways your students answer the question of what work is. and how sort of intimate and personal and formative to their own personal identities their work was, and how they experience like broader life through work. And it struck me that like we as labor scholars and people, we don't often talk about work like that. And I was thinking about why is that? And I do think that part of the reason that this, and I want to ask you if you agree with this, that part of the reason we don't approach work like that is because so much of sort of like labor studies and labor scholarship comes through a Marxist lens. And like through a Marxist lens, it's always like work, like the alienation of work, right? And I do think that there was a lot of the answers that your students expressed that were about like the brutality of work, but that isn't everything that they said. I mean, so much of the work was like their identity and like how they experienced and saw the world and how they connected to their families. And I think it gives a really different perspective to work. And that isn't to like dismiss the concept of alienation, but like, I think like what you're getting at is like work as like identity informative in a way that we don't talk about work a lot. And is that some, like, I can't think of another book that does this. So I don't know if that's really a question, but no, I wanted to throw that out to you.
Right, right. Well, no, that's a really good, a really good thought. So, you know, the book does draw on a number of philosophers, and Marx as a political economist, is also really relevant to the story, and not just to the subject of alienation, but there are writings from Marx, the 1844 manuscripts, which really speak to the aspirations of work and how work makes us fully human. And he writes beautifully in that section. So in that regard, I think we could actually properly utilize Marx for both the negative side of work and the positive side. And I did try to draw a balance, as you say, because that's what workers had to say. It wasn't all alienation from a subjective point of view, from a psychological point of view. You might, there's perhaps still an argument from an objective point of view that there's this separation from the things that workers make and whether they can control those things. But they're not all beaten down by work. And so there is that, you know, there is that continuum, right? That really is reflective. You know, one of the chapters that addresses the impact of work really, you know, runs the continuum from work is killing us slowly, you know, to work is what makes me happy, you know, what fulfills me as a human being. And I, you know, I think to your point, in order to get into the depths of how work is experienced, you are going to have conversations, because nobody can tell somebody else what that experience is. You're going to have to talk to them. And you're going to have to give them, voice. So, you know, perhaps it also speaks to the tools that either historians or sociologists or political economists use. You know, what are the tools they're going to use to represent an authentic experience, as opposed to something that's mostly structural. In sort of, you know, observing what happened over a period of time, you can describe it that way, but how did workers experience it? And that's the understanding I was hoping for in this book.
And I think it's what you reached, you know, I think that's what's really, and the book, I feel like there's like different threads to it. So you have like at the core of it is what workers said themselves about work. But then you interact with that in terms of like how different philosophers, like you said, have thought about work. And then you weave in, and this is some of the parts that really made me like really stop and just sat with me for a long time, your own personal experience of work, and especially through your parents. And I think that some of that part is some of the most beautiful and also some of the most thought-provoking. And there's one part in where you talk about when your dad was worried about some spots. He saw your dad was a steel worker and he saw some spots on his, I think on his lungs. And there was like anxiety about what that could possibly mean. And you shared a poem that you wrote. You said this line, he swallowed waste for 30 years, inhaled soiled air on every shift, but I never saw him choke on it. I mean, Bob, that's such a good line. But so why was it important to you to share your family connection to some of these questions? Because sometimes I felt like you were in some regard working out conversations that you did have or wish that you had had with your parents about their work as part of this book.
Yeah, wow. Very insightful on your part. So, you know, I think just generally any book, at least that I have written, I suspect it's true of anyone else, is that, you know, they write it for some personal reasons. There's mm-hmm. some part of them in there, something that's motivating them. You know, I had an opportunity to have conversations about working class life with my parents and neighbors and other steelworkers in the first book that I had written, Steelworker Alley. But as you say, never, I don't really feel like I asked the questions about how work was experienced. I think I was just looking for markers in that first book of how class was mm-hmm. represented, right? But not really digging deep into the lived experience. You know, how do you live your life through work, and how does work shape that? So that did require not only talking to other workers, but yeah, talking a bit about my family. Now this book is written after my mother has passed away, so I don't, you know, I don't have the benefit of having that kind of contemporary conversation. Fortunately, my father, a steelworker who's about to turn, I think 94 or 95, I've lost track, which is pretty incredible. So I can get a little bit, you know, a little more conversation with him. But it was important to share the personal with the universal, because I really want to be close to my audience. Mm-hmm. I want my reader to feel connected. I want to be accessible to them. I think the personal helps to lend some poignancy and urgency to, you know, to why write about this. I had a front row seat to how work was experienced. You know, I had a chance to observe it, and you know, my student essays really gave me a chance to go back and say, hey, you know, where did I see this in my own life? How did I see time and space and purpose? How did I see that playing out in my own growing up? And that helps me, I think, to better understand and to articulate what my students are saying. And then maybe finally, Steph, you know, every work that I do, I feel is a thank you, you know, to those working class folks like my parents. So it's a form of giving back to them and honoring them. So I appreciate your drawing on that poem. Yeah, thanks.
You know, and it strikes me, I mean, but at the very center of your book is the workers' responses to what is the question, what is work? Right. And it almost to me read as like sort of almost like a Gramscian, like grassroots philosophical meditation on that question, like what is work, where you center workers' voices and then sort of try to systematize what they said into a way that like, what can we take from it? And you came up with like five categories of what they said. Could you kind of walk like how did you come up with those categories and how do you see them operating and answering that question?
So, boy, a lot of, so you came up with the categories, I guess the old fashioned way, right? Stacks and stacks and stacks of essays, and then a yellow highlighter, and then placing them in buckets or piles. when you saw themes just emerge, right? Similar accounts, similar definitions, similar experiences, similar words just began to pop across all of these essays, and so there were five dominant themes that emerged real quickly. Time, the aspect of time, was one. Space and the built-up space, the actual work space, was a second. The concept of the impact of work, what work does to you, for you, good and bad. A fourth theme was the purpose, the reason, right? The motivation, the why for work. And then the final one was, who do you work for? For whom do you work? Or what I refer to as the subject of work. And these themes seem to take, they seem to create an evolution or a path that the worker would walk. Everything from the day starts with the clock and the work time, and then you get through that day in which you move through space, in which you see the work environment, and then there's the space that you work in. The work experience is happening to you. It's leaving its mark. At some point, and it may not happen every day, but at some point, there's a reminder why you do it, right? That purpose. And then ultimately, there's this, coming to terms with on whose behalf you do it. So there's this arc that kind of takes you from the beginning of the workday, thinking of this sort of the beginning of your work life, to the end of the workday, the end of your working life. And the five themes, I think, help to create an arc to the working day and to their working life, and they certainly do interact with each other. I mean, there's certainly plenty of overlap, but these were the five that just couldn't be ignored. Well, I didn't feel like you could talk about the experience of work and not touch on these five. They were the major elements.
That makes sense. And I want to come, I think about space a lot in my own research and work. And this is one of the few times that I've ever really seen anybody talk about work as sort of generative of space and generated by space and sort of positioning work as spatial. And I enjoyed all five sections, but I have to admit, like, that was the section I was like underlining and circling because I hadn't really thought about that a lot. And I found it to be incredibly thought provoking. So I wanted to mention that.
Well, then let me do this, even though you're asking the questions about my book and I'm thoroughly enjoying this. It's intriguing that you made the point about that chapter. And I don't know whether this was something you were conscious of, but it's the longest of the chapters, right? Mm-hmm. And that surprised me. Mm-hmm. And I found that I had to be, I had to be really conscientious on how long the chapter was getting, because there was so much to say about thinking about how work creates space and how that space makes that work possible. I tell a story, and it's something I repeat in my classes, where I ask workers how often they see their work in the space that they live in. Mm-hmm. Very few of them can actually point to it, right? They don't see their name on a bridge. They don't see their name on a school. Right. But then we begin to talk about how that space got there. And boy, there you are, you're hidden, you're there, you're invisible, but you're embedded in all of that. Right. Let's sort of think about how the world comes to actually be. And without the workers, right? Then there is no physical world, but they're not credited.
Right.
Right. So yeah, I think I found that chapter to be in some ways the most surprising because it kept opening up avenues to go down. So I'm going to be interested in what you do and in your own work with space and what new ideas it triggered for you.
Well, and I think that that's what, like, it's almost like a dialectic, like, so, right. It's like work is creating the space, but then the space of work is creating in weird ways, the workers. That one, there was one, I think it said, work is where and how we exist. You had a pretty long section on like, work is like the space of being. And I was like, I don't know, maybe I just get into the like sort of philosophical questions, but that to me, I like, it really made me think a lot, like about how both work is created by workers, the spaces we go through. And I really like what you said, in so many invisible ways is created by workers, but at the same time, those spaces are then creating the workers' sense of themselves and their being. And that to me was really powerful.
Well, that's wonderful to hear you say that. There is that interdependence,
right,
or that thesis, antithesis, that dialectical development. And, you know, frankly, Steph, I want workers to think about this. I want them to become more conscious of this because, you know, ultimately one would expect that as they understood it this way or differently, it would also empower them, right? And help to incentivize them to be, you know, truly protective and respectful of their work and the work of others.
So, but you said that you were surprised that this chapter was the longest and how, what came forward in this chapter. I have that actually was a question I wanted to ask you. What was there anything else that surprised you when you sat down to look at everything you had assembled? What was there anything else that surprised you in putting this book together?
Yeah, that's good. Good question. In the chapter that addressed for whom you work, the subject of work, I did expect that I would get more than a handful of folks who might just default to saying they work for then the name of the employer, right? So they worked for the Ford Motor Company, you know, something like that. Work is working at the Ford Motor Company, or, you know, something of that sort. And I didn't get it, right? I mean, workers made it very clear that they weren't working for their employer, right? Yes, they needed a paycheck. But that's not who they were working for. That's not the subject of the work. There's no, no real inspiration or motivation. It comes independently from the employer. And I thought maybe I would get more answers like that. But I didn't. I mean, it was resounding. The silence was resounding when it came to not work for the. Not working for the employer. One other fascination for me was that that their essays cumulatively really did demonstrate the interdependence of all the work that is done, right? That they not only obviously produce work, each individual, you know, they do work and they produce something, but their work is essential for somebody else, right? Who also does work, and that's essential for somebody else. And there are these just interlocking networks so that I think when you have the conversation with them, you can demonstrate that, you know, I don't get to class to teach them without a car. But I don't have no idea how the car works. I haven't made the car, but somebody made it. They don't know me, but they worked for me and it made it possible. And then the person who made the road, right? And the street lights work really well. Even that great cup of coffee that got brewed. I don't know that barista. I don't know the farmer. I don't know the truck driver. But when you start having, when you step back and you start having conversations, actually, you know, you have conversations with the essays, right? You begin to talk to the essays, and then you're talking to your students. You see this interdependence. And I guess it left a question open. Wow, if there's so much interdependence and it's made visible collectively, well, then the open question is, you know, shouldn't there be a greater degree of worker solidarity? Shouldn't it be a greater level of a kind of worker class consciousness? And therefore, what's getting in the way? You know, why maybe that doesn't happen. Now, maybe that's for another book. But that was a real fascination, the constant interdependence of their work.
Yeah, maybe that brings us back to that question of like alienation from our labor. Like, yeah, maybe we circle back to that in a weird way. So I have two more questions for you. The next question I have for you is, what's your hope for the book? Who do you want to be reading this book? Like, you put this book out into the world. What do you want it to do?
Yeah. I guess maybe a purpose of my work, right? Yeah. What I like to see accomplished. You're throwing it back. good for you. You're a good educator, Steph. So I certainly would like, I'd like workers to have access to it. And I'd like them to feel like it better explains the importance and nature of work. So I would certainly like it to be widely accessible to the students who take our classes, to a general population. The book was written in a way that I hope would be accessible to them. And I'd want those students and anyone else who were to pick up the book to get a better understanding of the way that work is experienced, because I believe if they do, it will help them live a more fulfilling life, because work's that important. I mean, I think a life well lived needs to be examined. And I think work is one of those fundamental things that need to be examined. So it would inspire others who read it to say, how would I answer that question? And how has work worked for me in my particular case? And I also have a high regard for my colleagues who work in the field of labor studies and labor education, and would very much like them to be able to read the book and comment on it as you're doing. And then maybe the highest compliment or the best outcome would be new questions would be raised, right? New ways of thinking. I mean, I'm expecting people to say, hey, Bob, did you find this in your essays? Or did you think maybe going down this road? Or have you thought of this philosopher? Or here's a poem you didn't use. Boy, I wish you would have used. Right? Or, you know, a different, here's lyrics from a song. So that the end result of that is that we will strengthen our commitment and dedication to the people that do the work, and therefore empower them. So, you know, at the end of the day, the idea is to essentially make the lives of working people, frankly, you know, more beautiful, right? More satisfying. So that would be a really good outcome of the book.
That's an awesome answer. Okay, so my last question, and maybe I bet you've been getting this a lot. I know you've been out talking about the book to other folks as well. So you've been thinking about this. You've read all your students' essays. Your book title is a question. What work, or it could be read as a question. What work is? So, Bob, what's your answer?
Oh, my. You know, I had a feeling you were going to do that. And you know just as well as I do as a teacher, Steph, you know, we're often asking these questions of our students, and we hope that we can get them all to contribute answers. And maybe you're better than me. You know, you jump in and give them what you think you're, you know, what your feelings are. But I've done this essay, and I'll continue to do it just so many times, but I'm almost never asked that question. But I do have an answer that I think I can stick with. And I think it's a product of where I am in my life and in my professional career. But now for me, work is the way that I serve. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I feel like I'm at the point in my career where perhaps I could help mentor others. I feel like I could, you know, as an educator, I can lift people up. I can be in a position to bring maybe resources to other either colleagues of mine or people who are very much interested in the field of labor studies or interest in the field of work. And I guess it speaks to a certain sense of security that and confidence that I have at this point. But I'm also starting to look backwards a bit, you know, over a career and you know, starting to reflect on things that I've done and where that's come from. And nothing brings me greater satisfaction than being able to help a student, a colleague, you know, someone who through my work gained some inspiration or that maybe they move their career forward. So I think I'm a little privileged that I can answer the question that way now. I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. that I would have answered the question quite the same way, but now it does feel like a form of service. And that is a way in, I think, in which I achieve sort of a greater level of connectedness with other people and ultimately happiness. So I don't know, ask me 6 months from now, well, it'll be a different answer.
You know, Bob, that might be, you know, you were saying, what are some questions that other that people could bring to the project? Maybe that's a question. How does the answers to that question change over time at different points in the career? What do new employees say versus people that are like towards the end of their career? That might be a really interesting thought, is how does our perceptions of work change over time? And mm-hmm. So listen, Bob, I've really enjoyed the conversation. I want to say, like, this book is part social science and part philosophy and part poetry and part autobiography. And at the very core of it is very real people talking about something that's fundamental to their lives. And I can't think of another book that tries to juggle all of those different kind of threads, or maybe weave all those different kind of threads, and does it so well. So I've really enjoyed reading it. Yeah, I could see this book, you know, having a chapter of this book would be like a really cool discussion topic, right? You know, to like have people read and think about. But I've really enjoyed our conversation, and thanks for, I think I could keep asking you questions and pointing to specific passages and wanting to talk to you about it more. But I think maybe that's a good place to end and to have, and I think that it's a provocative question that for me as another labor scholar, thinking about what work is and what is my role in that work is really powerful. So I guess I just want to end by saying thank you for writing the book.
Well, Steph, I appreciate all your kind words, your attention. You've been a terrific colleague over the years, and it means a lot to hear your thoughts about the work. So I'm grateful for the time that you spent reading it, and I look forward to continuing to have these conversations certainly with you well off, you know, well into the future. So thanks.
Absolutely.